destiny is your destination. If you want to talk to me, you better be in line with my destiny. If you want to walk with me, you better be in line with where God is taking me. Because if you're not there to add to where I am going, you're only taking away from what God has given me to give. You better listen here. Listen here. Don't make me go a little street on you today, but I'm telling you, I feel something in my spirit. I know that God is saying that there's some people that are connected to you, and they're connected to get you to where you need to be, where you need to go. And there's some other jokers that come into your life that just want to keep you where you've been. And they associate you from your past. Haven't you ever had that? Well, no, I don't want to say that because some of y'all, no, don't want to say that. I'll be careful because, you know, we're in church. And, you know, you can't say truth because then people in church get mad when you tell them the truth. And you got to be careful about it because if you say the truth and you get offended, when they get offended, it's because there's an offense inside of them that you told the truth. And it just begins to spring some things up inside of them that no one really wanted to deal with. But then when the truth comes, it helps you set you free. So what I want to say is, why do you keep going back to the people that keep bringing you back to your past? Why do you keep moving in the same areas, the circles of people of influence that come from your past? If they're not going where you're going, they can be an acquaintance. They can be a friend from a distance. They can be just a friend. But the moment that friend starts speaking to you about your destiny and where you're going and it doesn't line up with what they believe that you should be doing, then you need to get that understanding. It's what God said, not what they said. But my question to you is, what are you saying about your destiny? What are you saying about your destiny? Is your destination what God told you to do? Because if it is, don't get detoured along the way. Don't get detoured. And the quickest way to get detoured is listening to somebody that ain't going where you're going. Can we turn the lights up, please? I want to see some eyeballs in here. See some eyeballs in here. Because where you're going, not everybody's on the same path as you. Hold up. I said, oh, not all. And some people come in and turn the lights off, your vision. But you don't recognize it because you're more caught up on not offending them. Lord, I'm just trying to introduce someone here. I'm trying to be nice. Not just trying to be nice, but I feel something. That every time I get around a spirit that I know lingers, I know has a way of just kind of moseying on into a place. I got tired of dealing with this spirit, so now I'm going to deal with this spirit. Don't worry. I've got notes. There'll still be notes. But what I feel is that the lie has infiltrated into your spirit. And you begin to listen to this lie concerning where you're going. And it's begin to convolute what God has given you, and you see things a little bit hazy, and you're trying to make sense of where you're going. And the things that look like could be God have a tendency to have a form of godliness, but denying the power of. We have to be in line with what God said for you to do in the manner that he told you to do it. So don't be a cookie cutter and don't try to act like somebody else. Don't try to be an imitator. Be the progenitor that's going to go before everybody else to make a change and make a difference. This spirit is the spirit of compromise. This is not a message. This is truth. When you begin to compromise on what God has given you, you will lose out on everything that he has planned for you. Based on a spirit of compromise. Oh, let me just say it this way. If you compromise what you know is right, you will always fall heir to the things that the enemy has put before you. And you'll choose that based on compromising truth. Careful. Because when you compromise, not only does it set you back, but it brings your past to your now. The truth of the matter is, The moment you begin to move in the things of God, the enemy does not stop. It does not sleep. The intent of the Spirit is to keep you bound. But Jesus came to set the captive free. But captivity isn't always being bound by sin. Captivity can be you just not doing what God said because you don't want to offend someone. You don't want to hurt someone's feelings by saying, we can't connect anymore. We can't have that booty call at 9, 10 o'clock at night just so you can come over when you want to come over. We can't have this be a friend with benefits thing anymore because I got to hold myself to the way that God holds me in high regards, and I've got to let this thing go because my destiny is more important than you. Are you hearing this? Because if we compromise, we miss out on what God has for you. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Amen. That's the first service. We're going to take tithes and offering up one more time just to make sure. I felt this so strong in my spirit. I've been feeling it. Compromise, it's a spirit that will come in. But compromise only comes with something you know and you're comfortable with. Compromise will not come to you as something that you do not know, nor are you even considering. Compromise comes with something that you enjoy, you like, or you'll focus on. So I bind that spirit of compromise right now in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man now, and I declare to loose the people of God into their destiny and into the very path that you've ordained for them. And I order their steps, O God, that they walk away from, disconnect from, sever the ties, and cut every stronghold off of their life right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I loose them into their destiny. Now, Father, in place of compromise, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will give to them that ability to say yes to every command that you give them, to move forward with boldness and tenacity, Father. And I thank you that they will no longer compromise, but they will move, Father, with precision and accuracy for the things that you call them to do. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to the house of manna. Welcome. Welcome. It is with great pleasure, great pleasure, to have a relationship with this man of God that I met at a breakfast at Luby's. At Luby's. And it was through Pastor John David's ministry at Sons of Thunder when he said, come to Luby's for a men's breakfast. Well, I was there. Breakfast. I went. And all you can drink coffee. I think we wore this waitress out. She looked, can I have some more coffee? She just put the pot down. Here you go, sir. I said, thank you. Can you come back and fill it up again? Because I'll finish it. But I met this man, Pastor Martinberry. He's from London. I wanted him to come up and to share what was on his heart, what is happening in London, to share a little bit of what's going on with our conference that we're going to be doing in August. But I wanted him to share what's on his heart. So come up, Pastor Martinberry. At a legacy church. Come on. My brother, my friend.
Bless you, sir. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that again this time. The last time he invited me up, I was a bit confused. So I started just preaching and going on about loads of stuff. And I was like, I didn't realize I was meant to be up for 5 minutes. So I'm going to keep it short. So, my name's Martin Berry, and I'm from London. I'm the founder and senior pastor of Legacy Church London. Can you all hear me properly? Because I'm hearing it reverb from back here. And if you don't understand me, just put your hand up and I'll repeat what I say, okay? Because I've got a weird accent. So here's the thing. I just want to say to Pastor Martin, and actually Pastor John David, how much I love and appreciate these guys, because especially Brother John David, because he's a real dot connector. I don't think he realizes. He just puts things together, thinking he's just having breakfast, and he's connecting all these dots, you know. And it's powerful. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, you had a hand in this. Me standing here, you had a hand in that, right? I promised Pastor Marty, I'm not going to preach, but I want to say this. As Pastor Marty was saying what he was saying. You know, in Romans 1, verse 11, Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart to you a spiritual gift, that who may be established. Does anyone remember it? That you may be established. That by the mutual faith of both you and me will be strengthened. Okay, so I just want to back up what you were saying. If you're working with anyone in any kind of ministry, the idea is to work yourself out of a job. So I'll say that again. Because I have an apostolic ministry, you see, so I'm always constantly trying to work myself out of a job by raising up someone else. And you were so right, Pastor Marty, when you said when people attach themselves to you and they start trying to drive you somewhere else or become a weight that just keeps you down other than getting behind you and either joining with you or either raising you up. So I'm here today literally to promote your pastor. I have no interest in telling you anything about me because I'm here for him and for you. You should clap that because it's God that's doing it, not me, right? I'll get to the point. When I met Pastor Marty, just a quick funny story. I promise I'm going to keep this to 15 minutes, right? I promise. When I came here, I've been here since 2012 on and off. I keep coming. And just by the way, for those of you who are trusting God for stuff, I've never paid to come here once. Never paid out of my own pocket to be in this country ever once. And every time I went to buy a coffee, and I've got the weird accent, okay, I get it. I go to Starbucks. Can I have your name, sir? Yeah, Martin. Where I come from, I say Martin. I go, okay, Martin. Marty? Martin. Marty? Hang on, let me go. Martin. Marty? I'm like, Marty. Okay, it's Marty. And for about a week, everyone was calling me Marty. And when I don't know if I shared this. When we got to the breakfast, Pastor John David announced Pastor Marty. And I thought, oh, he's calling me Pastor Marty too. And it was you. And I felt the Lord say to me, there he is. There he is. God was in it from the very beginning, brother. So we have a conference for the last 4 years. God has been leading me to have conferences. And we call them Expect. And it's really great. It's a lovely, catchy name because every year it's just the same thing, right? Expect 17, Expect 18. But the expectation never goes. And every time we have these conferences, God moves powerfully. Now, I just want to let you know this. In our church in London, we are 99.9% brand new believers. And I'm talking mental health, drug addiction, ex-offenders. I'm talking people who have never smoked, people who've got degrees, cohabiting and being a family together. We just baptized two people today while I was here. I watched it online. And it was amazing to see that every year for the last 4 years, we're baptizing brand new believers. God is doing something in the UK and in this country. Don't listen to the hype about the churches closing in England. They're not. The religious establishments are closing down, but the churches are expanding. And I've said this to every American I've ever met. Because, you see, on an ordnance survey map, there has to be a place of worship, a registered place of worship, okay? When they go missing, they just say, okay, that's another church gone. And what they don't realize, in strip malls, they call these places, right? I'm trying to do Americanisms now, right? Strip malls, we call them shops. There's churches, coffee shops, garages, houses. In one area where there was one church closed, I counted in one small geographical area about 10 churches that were there. That we're unregistered and they're saying we're closing our churches. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God ain't closing anything anywhere. He is open for business and he's not slowing down. So when I met your pastor, the first thing he did, he prophesied. Actually over my wife. I wasn't sitting next to my wife at the time. She was sat away. And he gave a word that the Lord had given her about 3 or 4 years earlier. And then he began to unpack a word for me, that, and he didn't know me from a bar of soap, okay? And he starts unpacking this word to me, which I've been given constantly throughout my whole life. And I knew it was an instant connection with him, and I said, this guy knows what he's talking about, number one, which is good. And I really felt drawn to him, and then we got talking, and our relationship just kind of grew. And I said to my wife, we need to bring him to this conference in London. He needs to be in London. And so I'm here today, as you said, to not hold back or to draw in. I'm here to help, to raise up, and to be part of, and to increase. So Pastor Marty's going to come to London with his wife, Inez, and his daughter, Hannah. And so we're going to do the usual. We're going to do the tours of London and all the bits and bobs, okay, that we do, okay? He's going to visit the Queen and have tea and all that kind of stuff. But he's going to be the main speaker at our conference, and I've got a whole load of other churches and other ministers I'm going to expose him to. And I told him, when you get there, I'm not controlling you. I'm just a door for you, okay, to present you to the UK and let God do what he wants to do. Because I know God's doing something with us, because the interesting thing is God's bringing me here. So I'm not worried about what he does in the UK, because I'll probably be here while he's doing it. But I really want to encourage you in this, church, because, and I want to read you something, because I can talk. I'm a talker by nature. But then the problem is I can waffle. Sometimes the waffle's anointed, sometimes it's not. I'm not going to take a chance today. I've got a few minutes to get this done. I don't want to mess it up. You can go with me, or I'll read to you. In 2 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, There's a couple of parts in the letter to the Corinthian church where Paul talks about the reality of his authority and then the limits of his authority. And I'm not going to preach this. I'm going to keep this really small and slow. But I want to try and impart something to you to help you understand what I believe God is doing with you as a church and what he's doing with us as a church and how he's bringing the two together. Because believe it or not, brothers and sisters, we are one church. So I am that strange family member that you never met before, and I'm here today, okay? That's the truth, right? Because I tell you something, like Pastor Marty said, if you try to be something you're not in church, and you try and adapt yourself to church, you know that's fake, right? We call that fake. Do you know everything you say and do in ministry then becomes fake and powerless, and God doesn't do that? That's why if you look in 1 John 1, it says, that which was from the very beginning, that which we touched, what we heard, what we saw, which our hands held, that which God manifests towards us. In ministry and in church, guys, your job is to experience Christ and experience God, not learn about what he might have said to someone. You understand? I'm going to read. We're going to pick up from verse 12 through, I think the bottom one, yep, 17. I'm going to read through, and I'm going to do this very quickly. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It's never wise for you to only have a certain amount of people around you that you can compare yourself with. Because after a while, you start hearing all the right things and you think you're doing the right stuff, but you're not having a wide enough sphere to realize that somebody like a Pastor Marty or a John David could say, hey, brother, I think you might want to expand your vision, or I think you may want to look at something else. That's because it's dangerous to only have a certain amount of people, and this is what God's doing. So it's not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. He has a sphere. John David has a sphere. I have a sphere that is actually God appointed. Not man appointed. I don't have my own sphere. I'm working now in the States in a sphere that God's given me that nobody can touch and nobody can come within the sphere he's giving me. It's mine. But what's this? This is for you. A sphere which especially includes you. Because you're this church. That's your pastor. It includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure. That is, in other men's labors. This is where I'm going to go, and I'm going to come to a close. But having hope that as your faith increases, whose faith? ours, as so in my church, it'd be as your faith increases, watch what it does. We are, or we shall be, greatly enlarged by you. Important that you know, because see, church ain't something you sit, guys, and watch. It ain't a cinema. You partake. You interact. If you don't show up here on a Saturday evening, where's the church? There ain't one. What's this? We shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. See, any good pastor will try to increase your faith, because if as your faith increases in the church, it extends and expands his sphere so that he can move out. Because you're pushing in, he can't stay here, he'll be squashed. I'm giving you a physical demonstration, okay? As you start to expand, he has to move and keep moving. So what's happening in House of Manor is, as your faith has expanded, it's created his sphere, it's enlarged his sphere. That's how we've met. That's what my church has done. That's what Brother John David's church is doing. And God's connecting us because our spheres are enlarging. And I want to end on this, when it says about not boasting in another man's labors. One thing that I loved about Paul didn't need any other man's work. He didn't need to build on any other man's stuff. He could build his own stuff. And in apostolic ministry, I've never needed to build on any other man's stuff, praise God. Everything I've started in my own life, God gave me from scratch. Didn't need the money, didn't need the people, didn't need anything. Everything God did, and he brought the right people. But here's the thing. And this is for Pastor Marty particularly. If he had to invite himself to London, that would have been him having to boast in another man's labor. He'd have to boast in him including himself in what I'm doing. So I'm here to serve notice to you, Brother Marty, that by God doing what he's doing, you're not boasting in another man's labor coming to London. You're boasting in co-laboring together in spheres that's going to do amazing things for this church. Because you are now, today, connected to the UK. Do you understand that? Legacy Church know who House of Manor is. And they're praying for you, and they're excited for Pastor Marty to come. I've got a whole team of people waiting to come here. It's going to be an exciting time for you, and I'm going to end on this. I'm going to be true to my word, and I'm going to keep to my word, because every good preacher says they're going to finish, and then 10 minutes later, they're still going on, okay? I came here this year, I want to share this with you. Some of you, this may strike a nerve with some of you. Both of my children are in ministry. And one of my sons, my oldest son, I was sharing this with Pastor Marty, he just randomly just became despondent, walked away from the church, walked away from his calling, started going out drinking, because he works for a law firm, and he was just doing all the things. And I couldn't understand what was going on. I really couldn't understand what was going on. And man, it makes your prayer life strengthen, right, when this happens. And when God called me to come here, because I wasn't expecting to come here, I was going to send you a video. But now I'm here to say it to your face, right? Because God said, no, I want you to go. And I said, Lord, I can't go when my family's in disarray. I can't go with my family, because the Bible says the man who can't take care of his own home is not fit for ministry. And the Lord said to me, go. Now, I don't like flying. I got on the plane. I flew. I loved. I had no fear. Straight through immigration. No, I got no problems with immigration, just in case you're wondering, okay? So I got through there. Within the first week, the communication broke down. This is for someone in this room, maybe. Last night, I spoke to my son for nearly 4 hours, and he opened up completely. He said, Dad, what am I doing? I know who God is. I know who my God is. And I'm running from him when I should be running to him. And everything I've ever wanted to hear since he was a baby till now, I heard last night. And it was God showing me that when you take care of my business, I will take care of your business. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things the Gentiles want, I will see to it that you have it. So I want to impart this. When he comes to London, And I've even told you today, I don't fully know what God is going to do, but the one thing he showed me, he's smiling on it. The smile of God is on this, and it's going to do something powerful. And so I'm going to stop there. But so I want to thank you guys for everything you're doing, for supporting your pastor. You know, Paul says in Corinthians also that a great effective door of opportunity is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Let's not, you know what, can I just say this? Don't let one of the adversaries be finances for that man. Don't let one of the adversaries be, because you said it, I'm only saying this because you said it first, right? Because we say adversaries, we think outside the church, and there can be adversaries right in the church when you're scared to give because you've got something else you could be paying for or something else you've got your heart on and you could give. There's a man in this church, I'm not going to mention his name, but he supplied me with finances for one whole year. He only met me once because God told him to. And you know, I needed it. And you know, because of that one man, I got to travel all around Europe and God opened doors for me from this church. I'm still not going to tell you. Church, be blessed, be excited. God is connecting the dots. He's going to do something incredible in the UK with this man. And John David and his wife ain't getting away with this. God's got a plan for these guys powerfully, I think, in the UK as well, especially with the women's ministry, Jennifer. So listen, just be excited. Our church are excited. We don't fully know, but I'm here. I'm here until the end of July, and I'm actually, I didn't share this, but I'm going to stop now. I'm starting a church in Victoria, Texas, so please pray for that. And visas and missionary visas. But I'm here and I'm trusting God for everything. So, and he's going to supply. God bless you. I'm going to bring your pastor back up here. Pastor Marty, take the floor before I keep going.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. Come on, give him a hand. Come on. Bless the Lord. Amen. I wanted him to share because I want you to hear divine connections. The reason why I want you to hear about divine connections is because every time that you shake someone's hand, you do not know that that could be the next breakthrough in your life. Do I say it one more time? You never know the hand that you're shaking can be the one that's going to bring the breakthrough in your life. Always be prepared. Instant in season and out of season. Say it with me again. Instant in season and out of season. Amen. Instant grits. That's what it's called. Instant grits. Amen. Pastor, I appreciate you, sir. Appreciate your friendship. Pastor John David, appreciate you, man. I've said it before. We may not always chit-chat on the phone, get together, have tacos, coffee, but we need to. But I'm just saying, even though we don't, we got this. Divine connections is key. Divine. I so appreciate you guys. I appreciate the relationship that we have. What I want to share with you today, I thought I was done concerning, you know, the anointing. But the Lord really impressed in my heart to share with you about the ingredients in the process. The title of this message is The Ingredients in the Process. Now, when I began to minister on this about the process, about the anointing, and it is necessary that we must have the anointing, and not just knowledge. But what I wanted you to do is get the understanding about the ingredients in the anointing oil. Once you get the understanding of the ingredients in the anointing oil, you'll get an understanding of how you're being anointed. And the reason why, what you've been going through, and the purpose behind it. Amen? So we find that in Exodus 30, verses 22 through 30. Remember we read it last week? If you have it, you can go to it. But what I want you to do really is to see it for what it is. Because if your oil isn't pressured, it's not purposed. And that's what I discussed with you last week. Your oil is pressured for purpose. So in Exodus 30, verses 22 through 30, that's the actual recipe of what it is called, what it is, the anointing oil. And it gives you a list of ingredients. But from last week, I went over into Psalms 133, and I'm going to take it out of this particular context, and then we'll get into it and how I'll break down the ingredients. Amen? In Psalms 133, out of the New American Standard Bible, it reads this wise. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you continue to bring life to your word as it ministers to our life and it ministers to our spirit to give us life and life forevermore. And I thank you for it, Lord, that we are ready, poised, and positioned for what you have for our promotion. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Now, we know that in the anointing oil, there's five ingredients. And in those five ingredients, it's important for us to have the understanding so that you know what he is giving you, what is inside of you, and the purpose why you have it. Now, the ingredients and things are listed in food, right? Now, for those of you that, you know, are watching what you eat so that, you know, we watch our figures. I watch my figure all the time. It balloons. It shrinks. It balloons. It shrinks. It's on a ballooning phase because we're growing, and it's okay. You know, hey, amen. But when you read the ingredients package, you begin to see what's inside the contents of the package or what you're about to eat. Now, for some of you that like to have those candy bars late at night, if you read the ingredients, you probably would quit eating it late at night, probably altogether, but anyhow, when you begin to read, it tells you what is inside and what is the contents and the value of it. Now, hear this. Wouldn't it be nice to know that when we got saved, someone gave us an ingredient list to Christianity? That someone said, you just got saved, you just got baptized. I want to give the ingredients to what you're about to go through in life and the content and the value of each season of your life. Wouldn't that be great to know everything that you are about to encounter? Someone said, nope. Because if I was to see what was coming my way, I would have a tendency to kind of go the other way. And knowing that the magnitude of the degree of what is coming to understand the value of this season, then I know if that has a big content and has a big degree, I'm probably going to go run the other way. Okay, how many of you have been very obedient to the Lord? Raise your hand. That's right. Now, that's a real church right there. That's a real church. That's a real church. Did you see that? That's a real church. Like, I was real close one time, but what happened was Sister So-and-so looked at me a little strange, and I just quit going to church. What happened was that, you know, I know I was called to preach, and I would never get called up to preach, so I just left the church. What happened was that I knew I was called to be a leader, but then they would never put me in any type of leadership in the church, so I decided just to go out and start my own church so I can be my own leader. No? Is that too hard? See, the thing, we don't get to choose the level of degree that what we're about to experience and the ingredients that is coming. But one thing he does tell us in his word is what is necessary for the anointing. And he listed five different ingredients. And he listed for a reason. So that you would have an understanding of what you're going through and why you're going through it. Mm-hmm. We have to recognize that we need the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Our own strengths can sometimes be our weaknesses because we easily abandon the reliance on God. When you're so good at something, when you're extremely well at something, you may have the tendency to think that it's you and not God. They gave you that ability. Then you negate giving God the praise for the increase in your life. Because if you become so successful and you decline to give God his praise and his honor and what is due to him, then what you have done is put yourself on a pedestal yourself and you become your own God. And every God that is raised before God and every altar that is built before God that will cause you to worship that before him, guess what he'll do? Let's say it again. He will get rid of it. I don't know about you, but I know that success can come at a time when you least expect it as well. And I know, I've heard that statement made so many times. Oh, success comes when you least expect it. Not when God says that I'm called to be successful. Not when God says that I've given you the tools and the equipment of everything that you need and the resources that you need to become successful, but just don't forget who made you successful. Amen? So the ingredients is necessary. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we must depend on God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We must minister in anything that we do and everywhere that we're at in the power of God. Amen. The power of God. And if I was in Kenya with Pastor Paul Adari and him, I'd be saying Ngufu. In Swahili, that's power. And I had an interpreter. James was my interpreter. And every time that he'd be my interpreter, I move around a lot, I scream a lot, and I shout a lot. And oh my God, this man was just like me. So I'd say, power, Ngufu, power, Ngufu. And it was hilarious because the way I would say it, he would say it. And then I looked at him, I said, you say it with power. And then he repeated what I was saying, but I was literally talking to him. And he just looked at me and says, ever since I've been interpreting for you, I feel the power. It's not just what you have read, it's what you have lived. See, everywhere you go, you can be an influence in someone's life, which is the sphere of influence that God has already anointed you for. But if you don't allow that sphere of influence to be challenged, pressured, and pushed, you'll stay in that area. We have to grow. We have to expand. And here's the thing, we have to understand, we have to minister at all times with power. Under this anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing is what we should desire and pray for. Now, we want His presence more than anything. Hello? Yes? Yes, Pastor, we do. That's the correct answer. Correct answer, yes, we do. We want His presence at all times. When you're out there amongst people in your day-to-day job, your day-to-day duties, whatever you're doing, His presence is there with you. And He will bring someone into your sphere of influence to impact their life. The anointing breaks the yokes. It will set the captive free. It will liberate them from any type of oppression. And it can set them free. But if you are afraid to operate and minister with power, you'll just be another person handing out tracts. I'm all for tracts. Don't get it twisted. I'm all for it. But that tract is just an open door for you. The moment they take it, it's the open door to speak to them about Jesus. But how many other people have talked to them about Jesus? You could be the one that comes to minister with the anointing, the power that can set them free. Then you educate them to get into a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church, House of Manna, and so that they understand, so they can have that understanding of who they are and their identity. Amen? Now, the anointing sets us apart. Now, I've been around Christian folks, professing Christians. I'll say it that way. I've been around professing Christians. Worse than a sailor. Mm-hmm. Worse than a sailor. Mm-hmm. Worse than Satan himself. Yeah. Like Satan's bride. Yeah. But they say they're Christians. Now, I know y'all are all Holy Ghost filled. Your ears have been sanctified for only things that are holy. And I know that your eyes only look upon the beauty and the splendor of the Lord and nothing else. But your pastor's a little thrown, a little sideways at times. And occasionally likes to enjoy a movie that is not always rated G. Sometimes it's rated PG. Please, God, let me see it. And I watched this movie one day, and it was called, Lord, help me. Lord. I don't know if I should. Y'all's mind just went everywhere. Y'all's mind just went everywhere. Oh, I knew Pastor watched that kind of stuff. I knew it. Chain. No. What is it with Taraji Penson and what's the little dude name? What's his name? The comedian. Kevin Hart. What's that? What men want? No, what women want? What is it? That's what I said. Think like a man. Think like a man. See, you could tell I don't always watch it. I was just setting it. I don't always watch it. Think like a man. Think like a man. Think like a man, right? That's the one. Okay. So there's this scene. It's bad. You should never watch this movie. And they hook up. This couple hooks up, right? And they're in the room, and they're getting ready to get in each other's face and get acquainted. But then they stop. And she says, no, I can't do this. This is the first day, I can't do this. And he stops, and he fixes himself. He says, I understand, I agree, I'm a Christian too. And, you know, a lot of times, oh, Lord. I'm under the veil. It's okay, I'm under the veil. See, sometimes what happens, we put ourselves in situations that we know we shouldn't be in, and then we want to say that the blood covers it, But we put ourselves in situations that we shouldn't be putting ourselves in. How did this happen? I don't know how this happened. Well, I know how it happens. You know how it happened. You knew how it happened. Yes, you... No, Lord. We have to understand, and I said it last week, we have to guard the anointing. We have to guard it. God will give you a way of escape from what you're about to do. But sometimes we don't want to listen to the voice of reason, the voice of counsel. We don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. Don't go that way. It's going to lead to destruction. Don't do it. But what happens is we say, I'm not listening to you because this feels good. See, if we understood what kind of temptation that was coming, which would be called compromise, compromise is only going to come to something that you really want. You can't compromise me with a pizza that is full of olives. It ain't going to happen. Don't like. Now you put me pepperoni with some jalapeno on there. You pass it on fail already. To tap the whole pizza, brother. Whole thing. Family be looking at me like, were you going to share? Mm-mm. The Lord has blessed me and blessed me in abundance. But what I'm trying to say is, how can you be tempted of something if it's not something that you already want? It's something that you want. The enemy knows it. And so what he's going to do is present it. And present it so good. Then you say, oh, but I'm a Christian. I understand. Well, to just put it plainly, that was not the end of that particular scene. And in that movie, well, they needed to pray in the morning. Just checking to see if y'all been there, because some of y'all are like, ooh. Pastor, can you move on to the next scripture, please? Why are y'all up in my Kool-Aid? The ingredient. What is in your life that is causing all this kind of temptation? And I'm not talking about sin. The temptation to say no to destiny. It's easier to quit than it is to continue on. Oh, it's much easier. You know why? Because once you quit, I'm done. I'm done. It's harder to continue on and press through and press on to do what is right, what God said to do. The anointing is nothing other than the presence of God in favor. Amen. The anointing, let's guard it. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle and all the furniture, the utensils they were used in worship, and they had to be anointed. It had to be anointed. They had to apply it. They didn't just use any old oil. It was special oil that was used. Exodus 30, verse 22 through 30. I'm going to read it. Exodus 30, verses 22 through 30. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels, of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin, only a hin, of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be sacred. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy." Did you read that in verse 29? What did it just say? That anything unholy that touches these articles that the anointing oil has been applied to, that anything unholy that touches it will become holy. So it will negate every kind of stupid thinking that people preach, that you can't be near the sinners and those that have demons because it'll jump on you and you become defiled. That's not scripture. You are anointed for the service of the work of the kingdom of God. You are the holy temple of God. He has called you to go and make them holy. What does that mean? Purified. The anointing of God has ordained you to go and do his bidding, his work, and make these people holy. Okay, enough said. I'll just get, you know, just, whew. And for a minute there, I was like going back to old school. I about to start pulling on my ear and start, yeah. Because we were taught we couldn't be around people that were in sin. Then my question was, then why am I around you? Why am I listening to you, Pastor? Because we all have an issue. We all have something that we fall short of the glory of God with. But he's saying, stay close to the articles. Get close to the house. Get close to the worship. Get close to the altar of sacrifice so that whatever is unholy becomes holy. It can be cleansed, purified, and removed out of the place. Oh, he lists everything that needs to be anointed. He lists the sacrifice table. You understand the sacrifice table? I don't know. I've been to church services where they've had all the articles. It's real beautiful. The Ark of the Covenant. They have all the utensils there. And they did their rendition of the tent of meeting. But what they didn't and they could never reproduce was all the blood sacrifice that was made. And they couldn't reproduce the stench of it. Why did he say anoint that very filthy thing? So that every sacrifice that came to the altar becomes purified. Oh, man. This may be too deep. Verse 30, it says, "Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests." This is out of the NIV. There's a prescribed ingredient that we have to understand that he used in all of this. The first one is the liquid myrrh. Liquid myrrh. Now, I want to explain this to you so you have a better understanding. Myrrh was used to prepare bodies for burial. Understand? It prepares the body for burial. To get its beautiful sweetness, you had to crush it. Did you read that? You understand? In order to get liquid myrrh, you had to crush it. You ever been through a crushing in your life? You ever been put in a situation where you felt like you just couldn't breathe? It was so hard. How am I going to get past this? And it's saying to us with this liquid myrrh is that it speaks of death. Myrrh speaks of death. We have to learn to die to our self. There is no anointing without death. If we want to know God's anointing, we have to die to ourselves, die to the old person that we once were, die to our own agenda, our own desires and dreams. If we're going to depend on God, we have to die to our own abilities and resources. Our own abilities and our own resources. Now, some of y'all know my story. Some of you don't know my story. I'm going to share a real quick synopsis of my story. I was in construction management with hotel renovations, and I went all across the country doing hotel renovations. I can run crews from different locations of the country from my phone and my computer and run renovations in a hotel. The Lord has graced me with leadership abilities to be able to do so, and I was good at it. I never went to college for it, never got a degree, but I was up against project managers that had all kinds of degrees, and they were very jealous and upset that I was doing this as opposed to them. And I said, Lord, I thank you for what you've given me. I thank you. It's good. And I don't know if you know this, but I like trucks. I like trucks. You're not driving my truck, you're driving the car. But I like trucks. I like big trucks. And so what I did was, because I had this ability that God has given me to manage so many projects, I went out and got me a truck. Big black truck. Beautiful black truck. Big. But it wasn't what God told me to do. It was what I wanted to do, based on what I thought my contracts were going to pay off, based upon the house that we bought, because we thought we were going to be able to pay it off because of all the contracts we had, be debt free. But it wasn't what God had told me to do. It's what I decided to do. I went ahead based upon what I believed that what I was able to do was going to be able to pay for everything that was right before me. And that's when the year that the market crashed for housing. And banks were no longer lending money. So all of my contracts that were lined up, that would have got us debt-free and above, were nullified and void and canceled. There went everything that I built up. Hear me. Everything that I built up. I built up. Not what God built, what I built. So when it crashed, and there went my truck, which was my altar, where I would find God. And I'm telling you, when I would find God in that truck, I'd be driving around, I would literally lose where I was at, and I would get lost. Just in worship, like, oh my God. And then, where am I? Oh my God, 20 minutes this way, and I wrong way. I would just get lost in worship. That was my place. Now, when I lost all of it, I knew that something had to die, which was me. My desires. And I should be desiring what God wanted for me to do. Do you understand? It's good to be successful. I'm not knocking success. No, I think it's great. We need it. We need successful people in this world. But I'm talking to some people that want to be successful in doing what God has told them to do. Because you can meander through life, be successful, but not even do what God has called you to do. That's the truth. But there will always be something that's void in your life. That's because you're not fulfilling what God, your Father, Abba Father, has said for you to do. And you always walk around with a void in your life. And you're thinking that man or resources here on earth can fulfill that. And it won't. We have to die to sow. The liquid myrrh will do that. That's what that is. And if we don't come to that place of dying to ourselves and our own, then God may have to bring circumstances into our lives to bring us to that place at the altar to die to ourselves. Have you ever been there? Because I know y'all are all saints, and you're always obedient to the Lord. I know it. I know this about y'all. I just know. Y'all are always obedient to the Lord. But your pastor wasn't. I would fight God quite often. I would test God quite often because I didn't want to do what he told me to do. So I'm not preaching to you what somebody else has written. I'm not preaching to you what somebody else has told me what they went through. I'm preaching to you with something that I've lived to have that understanding. What God was trying to show me is, Marty, die to yourself, and so that you can put on what I have given you, wear it well, continue to do what I've called you to do, and don't be like everybody else. Do it the way I prescribed you to do it. You understand? Can we all say, the dying process is part of the ingredients to the anointing? Amen. Now, how many of you have heard the story of the lady of the alabaster box? How many of you read that story in the Bible? Okay, three of y'all. Okay, we're in church, but it's okay. Oh, a couple more hands went up. Okay, seven. Okay, we got seven of y'all. Now, when she entered in to anoint Jesus' feet, she carried a box. The box itself was very expensive. The perfume, the oxnard, was very expensive. It said that it was worth a week's wages, a year's wages, a year, a year, a year. I was going for a week saying, okay, well, I bought me some Ralph Lauren the other day, and that's a week's wage, but you know. But a year's wages? Look, this is something that's costly. So watch it. Here's what I'm going to share with you real quick, and then I'm going to move on to the other spices. Now look, she brought this box into, that's the carrying, the carrier. She brought the carrier of what was very precious to the feet of Jesus. Watch this. But before it could irritate others in the room, and before it could even become something to use of worship, it had to be broken. To release the fragrance that was within on what was being carried. Now, this is something that the very disciples got very indignant about, very got upset about, saying, we could have sold that and done real good and fed the poor with it, the hungry with it. So that tells me there was something very precious. But if you begin to read throughout the scriptures in different versions of the Gospels, one says it was a precious perfume. The other one says that it was a very expensive. And the one says it was a priceless one. Very, very expensive, to the point that it would give a year's wages for you to have the understanding for her to bring the box before it was even broken to say is that I've taken care of this thing, and I know the value and the content that is in this thing. I know what it took for me to get this thing, and I know what is inside of it and the value that's inside of this. I know it because I labored for it, but I bring it so that I could break it before you, Jesus, and worship the feet of you, Jesus, because the content can only come out in our brokenness. If we're not broken, we'll be walking around never being fragrant enough for the kingdom of God to do the work of God. We will only be carrying around looking pretty. It is in our mess that we get our message. It is in our brokenness that we begin to release the oil. Now watch this. It is in your brokenness in the ingredient of the myrrh that makes every religious person upset. Religious folk don't want you to be anointed. Religious folk don't even want you to get near the one that is giving the oil. But here's what I find very interesting. She brought the oil. She brought it. And what was happening is when she mixed her tears with the perfume, it's when it really got to the point where Jesus said, not one of you has offered to even wash my hands or my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and cleaned it with her hair. Why was it so significant for him to even speak of this? Because he said that if she can get down and be in a place where she shouldn't be, and she could be killed, even stoned to death for being in the presence of Jesus, She says, I will go to the altar and die to myself to release this sacrifice of worship so that whatever comes out of it, it doesn't matter because I'm worshiping the King. Maybe you don't know it because you're caught up in a religious mindset and you can't see who you're sitting next to. But I know this man. I know, for I perceive this man to be the Son of God. And I will not let anybody take what is precious to me and tell me what I can't do to my King. I will bring to my King my worship, and I will set it before him and let my tears begin to come down, and I will wipe it with my hair because it is my anointing that is costly, and I won't let anybody take it from me. I will come to the altar and I will release the ingredients through my pain. This is what Jesus was saying, that this act, this woman, will be preached to the end of the world. From one act of worship, a year's wages for perfume, broke it and poured it on the feet of Jesus. That's a sacrifice. I don't know who this is for, but I'm just going to say it. Don't get mad at Pastor. Get mad at God if you want. He's a big God. He can take it. But you wonder why you're going through what you're going through, but you won't even give God your full tithe. He says to the disciples, you have robbed me. And they said, how do we rob you? With your tithes and your offerings. That's why the scripture says that he sits across from the offering basket to watch the heart as those that come to serve the Lord. That's why we don't pass containers or baskets for you. So you bring your offerings to the Lord. That's why we do it that way. You want to see breakthrough? Finances? Breakthrough in your family? Breakthrough in your ministry? What you don't have right now, he's got for you. But it takes an act of obedience and sacrifice. We were taught very early on, what you're in need of, sow for it. Sow for it. What does that mean? Give so that God can open up the doors for you. I can't move the hand of God, but I can touch his heart. In obedience, in my obedience, is better than any sacrifice. Any sacrifice. I believe that the moment she walked in, this woman with the alabaster box, she walked into the room, her obedience to be there was a setup from God. A setup from God. That the moment it broke open, now it wasn't about her. It was about the disciples around him. So it would prove the heart of those around him. Watch this. This is going to help you. It's going to bless you. Get real serious with God in your giving, your sacrifices, your time, whatever the case may be. It will irritate those around you that really don't believe in you. It will irritate the people around you that don't believe in you. That's how you can weed them out. That's how you can weed them out. I've been going through, brother. I'm going through, but I know my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I know this to be true because he's asked me in one time in the scriptures to prove him in this. And I believe that if I sow my way, I'll sow my way out of my situation. I'll sow my way out of it. It's my sacrifice because I love him. Are you understanding that? All right. She did something she was willing to die for. Second ingredient is sweet cinnamon. That's this. Sweet cinnamon was used for flavoring. It gave off a very pleasant smell. The fragrance was beautiful in the tabernacle because it counteracted the smell of the animal sacrifice. You know, God has a reason for it. You may not like this. Watch this. Cinnamon is used in the healing process as well. When you begin to smell cinnamon, and the atmosphere, guarantee you can watch. The Holy Spirit is moving to bring healing in the atmosphere. How many of you have smelled cotton candy in a worship service? Cotton candy brings joy. There's joy being released. How many of you have smelled like wood, earthy, woodsy stuff? Musky. One, two. Speaks of humanity. He's going to begin to minister to humanity. To the person, the individual. Not the spirit, but the person. Understand? God has specific things in place for us to understand that we must touch and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Smell and see that the Lord is good. We have to see that our senses are there for us to understand that He is present at all times. So in the sacrifice with cinnamon, it was to bring to us a sweet aroma to cover up all of the sacrificial offerings. Sweet cinnamon. I love it. Galatians 5:22-25. Galatians 5:22-25. Watch this. I'm not going to read it all. It's just the sweetness of Jesus. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. The sweetness of Jesus. And you can find that in Galatians 5:22-25. The sweetness. Let's say it to you this way. Even though you're going through what you're going through, are you supposed to be bitter? Well, I hear the no's, like three no's. Are you supposed to be bitter because of what you're going through? No, don't get it twisted. You're going to be a little upset. You may not like it, but don't be bitter. This is what the anointing oil does. Cinnamon makes you sweet. Sweet, loving to others. Okay? We go through things. We go through it. I know. Look to your neighbor and say, I know you're going through. I know. But you're still sweet. Tell them they're still sweet. But mean it. You're still sweet. You're still sweet. Well, that's if your spouse you're talking to. This ain't no singles club in here. Just saying. All right. The third ingredient. It was the calamus. It was the fragrant cane. The calamus plant grows in miry soil, in dirt. Very muddy soil. Not very clean dirt. Kind of oxymoron, clean dirt. Miry, muddy, bad. Now watch this. To get the plant to smell, you have to beat it. You have to beat it in order to get the fragrance out. Have you ever felt like you've been beaten? Have you ever felt like just, I'm going to worship the Lord, and the Lord's, today was rough, Lord. I don't know if I can do this. No, but today this woman just got on my nerve today, Lord. You know, it was just so bad. It's been like this day after day after day after day. It's been bad. What? I don't understand. And then you start complaining instead of praising. You start complaining instead of worshiping. So you're being beaten, and the ingredients is not coming forth with value. With value. This plant has to be beaten in order for it to be used. The plant has to be beaten in order for it to be used.